Well, today's Pentecost, and we're going to read the second chapter of Acts. It's page 771 in your Pew Bible, and it gives an account of that first Pentecost where the Holy Spirit came down and the people spoke in a variety of languages. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live here in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Word of God. So, like we said, today is Pentecost, when we celebrate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, Martin Luther wrote about the Holy Spirit in the Small Catechism. And there Martin Luther wrote, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith." Anyone else have to memorize that when you were kids? It used to be a few of us, you have to memorize Luther's explanations to the different parts of the catechism. But what it says is, faith is not a choice you make. Because by your own reason, you can't come to faith in God. The Holy Spirit has to call you. The reason we can be here and have faith in Jesus is because there's a Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that takes the gospel, it takes the witness of others, and enlightens you, allows you to believe that what God says about his love and salvation is true. It's the Holy Spirit that takes that page and just makes it more than something that's in your mind, and it makes it something in your heart where you believe, wow, there is a God of love. There is a God of salvation. And I have come to know a God I cannot see in the person of Jesus I can see. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to create faith in you. And the one passage that Louis said in Spanish, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's what the Bible says. You can't say Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart unless the Holy Spirit has been working in you. So do you have the Holy Spirit in you?
Yes.
Yes, you darn tootin'. Thank you. Yes. Unless you're sitting here and you don't believe. Now, maybe some of you are there too. But if you believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, because no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So we know if you believe that, if you truly believe it, it's because God's Spirit is alive and well within you. You know, you don't have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be an extrovert jumping up and down to have the Holy Spirit. In fact, most Germans and Scandinavian backgrounds, we'd like to be quiet, thank you very much. You know, the Spirit works quietly in us. But it doesn't matter whether you're outgoing or ingoing, if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe it in your hearts, you've got the Holy Spirit. He's working within you. And that's how we know he's doing his job. And it's to lead us. Jesus says, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so he leads us into the truth of God. Because there's a lot of views and there's a lot of falsehood about God out there. You know, I just got back from China. And part of what was interesting is talking about people about politics and religion. And I know politics and religion, but it... fascinating to hear from the people there their understanding of God. And in one of the places, that's a picture I took of the Buddha and the God of Judgment. And if you were deemed judged good, you got to go on and be reincarnated into a better life. But if you were judged to be bad, then you went to hell and suffered, and then you came back as a lower life form. And it was interesting in there that if you were, for instance, a politician that skimmed money off and were dishonest, then they had a picture of a person being skinned alive. You know, and if you were a businessman that wasn't fair, they had a balance and the person had a hook and they were hung by this hook, you know, suffering until they had paid for the wrongs they had done. And they had even worse images for some of adultery and other issues, and I'm not even going to go there. Already did, it's too late. But anyway, you'll just have to use your imagination for those things. But it was fear. It was fear that dominated your view of God. And what was interesting is that belief in karma. You get what's coming to you. And many people, that's how they view life. You get what's coming to you. And if you've been bad, you're going to be punished. And if you're good, you get rewarded. And that is a view of God. God is there to reward us for what we do well and to punish us when we're bad. And the problem with that view of God is you're constantly living, have I been good enough? You know, that's what Martin Luther went through, is as good as he was. Have I been good enough? What about those thoughts that I've had that were impure? What about how good do I have to be? And if I always get what's coming to me, I'm always, when's it going to happen? You know, because I know I've not been perfect, so God's going to get me sooner or later. And so Christianity is just the opposite of that Buddhism or that worship of ancestors. Christianity says you get what you don't deserve. We don't believe in karma. Now, there is some karma. If you're a good person and you treat people well, they tend to treat you well. And if you're a bad person and treat people bad, they tend to treat you bad. But we're talking about God here. God isn't sitting there counting up what you've done right and wrong, and he's going to get you because of the bad things you've done, karma. We believe just the opposite. And it's the Spirit of truth that says, what do we know about God? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. We believe in a God of forgiveness, not a God of karma. Those are two different whole views of the way God interacts with us. For me, I remember one of those enlightened moments was when I was back in high school, and why I make all my confirmands memorize Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, because that was my moment of enlightenment with the Holy Spirit. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And the Holy Spirit just laid on my heart, wow, you know, I always thought, ah, look at me, I've got faith. I'm such a good little Christian. I believe in you, God. You should be proud of me and reward me for my faith. And all of a sudden that passage says, Brian, you're not saved by your faith. You are saved by grace. It's not about you. It's about God. By grace you've been saved. And faith is not faith in oneself. Faith simply acknowledges the graciousness of God, the generosity, the goodness of God, who gives me what I don't deserve. I am a sinner. I am not perfect. I am not holy. I don't deserve to be in the presence of a holy God. And yet this God says, but let me reveal to you the spiritual truth. I am a God of forgiveness. I am a God of grace. And in Jesus, that's what I offer to each and every person, that you are saved by grace, which means you get what you don't deserve. So you can either go through life believing in karma, I'm going to get paid back for every evil thought, everything that I've done that I shouldn't have done, God's going to get me. And if I've been bad enough, then I'm going to come back in the next life in a lower form. Maybe I'll be a cockroach if I've been really bad. Maybe if I've been a politician here in recent days. We always like, well, we won't even go there. It's too late. It's too late. I've already gone there. But that belief is somehow you keep getting born, and you either get born lesser because you've been bad, or you keep getting born higher until you finally get to heaven. You get karma. You get paid for what you've done. And our spirit of truth says that's a lie. The spirit of truth says God is forgiveness, that God is grace, undeserved love. And so especially for me, going to a different country, you see their perspective of their God, and it just makes me appreciate our understanding of Christianity and grace that much more. We don't live in constant fear or thinking that I'm going to get what I deserve. No, we believe we get what we don't deserve. And if you believe that, you know, if you are enlightened to that in who you are, then the result of it is fruits of the Spirit. Because that's the next thing. Once the Spirit creates faith, the Spirit creates fruit. And if you think God has been generous to you, if you think God and believe God's given you more than you deserve, then you're going to be generous to others. Then you're going to be more likely to be gentle and generous and patient and kind, because that's how God has first been to you. So the fruits of the Spirit are grounded in the truth of our faith in God. The more God has been loving and forgiving and generous to us, and that Spirit lives in us, then we start to become people who love because we have been loved, who are generous because God has given us more than we deserve. And so it's the job of the Holy Spirit then, after it creates faith, to produce those fruits of faith. And those are the nine fruits of faith that are listed in Galatians 5:22 and following. And so the work of the Holy Spirit creates a sense of grace, of gratitude. We've gotten not karma, but more than we deserve. And then we begin to grow in those fruits that come out of that kind of faith. You know, one of the things that I love is generosity. You know, Thrivent is a Lutheran-based financial company, and their slogan is live generously. Live generously. And they fund in thousands of churches around this country, fund projects of service. So if you have a service project, here's this Lutheran financial company that will give seed money so that we can care for others. And it's all part of a slogan, live generously. You know, and as I thought living generously, one of the times that I think is the greatest time of Lutherans was back at the end of the Vietnam War. Most Lutherans don't even realize that it was the Lutheran Church that resettled most of the Vietnamese refugees in America. Did you know that? Lutheran Refugee and Immigration Service, hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese, the vast majority of Vietnamese that are in America today are here because the Lutheran Church sponsored them. I know our Redeemer, back with Pastor Enter, sponsored a Vietnamese family after the war. My home congregation, Missouri Synod, sponsored two families after the war because these were people that were our allies. They were helping the U.S. in Vietnam, and when the Viet Cong won, they were going to die if they stayed there because the communists had taken over. And we as a church and as a country said, we're going to stand with our allies. And we brought in hundreds of thousands because they had sacrificed on and supported us. And most Lutherans don't know that most of those people are here today because we live generously. We provided ESL classes. I know in my home congregation, we set them up in an apartment. Two families, we furnished the apartment, we helped them find jobs, and we tutored their kids and worked with them for years to help them resettle. And that was replicated in thousands of Lutheran congregations across this country. They didn't have our religion. Most of them were Buddhist, some were Catholic. They're a different race, a different culture. But our faith said, God's been generous to us. We're going to be generous and faithful to those who helped us in that war. Live generously. That's a sign of God's Spirit working in our lives. And so today we celebrate the festival of Pentecost, when people knew whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the Spirit of truth. And it's the Spirit, once it teaches us that for ourselves, is there to say, now we need to share that message with others. If you've got peace, if it's made a difference in your life, don't you want to share with others that they may know that same truth about God? That this world didn't come in by accident. You know, the most popular TV program, The Big Bang Theory, is based on there is no God. It's just a bang. I don't have a problem with the Big Bang Theory, except God said bang. God said bang, and there it is. And God was behind the creation of everything. Science may try to explain the physical manifestation, but behind it, there is a God who brought it together with purpose. And then not only did he bring it into existence, he brought it into existence with love. And our job is to share the good news. Our job isn't to convert anybody, however, because that's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit, it says, calls us through the gospel. We're just there to share good news. Let people know of your faith. Share the good news, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict and to enlighten them. I know I'm showing my age, but there used to be a Greyhound bus commercial. Anybody remember the Greyhound bus? And do you remember the commercial that was so popular? Take the bus and leave the driving to us. Well, we could adapt that and say, share the good news and leave the faith to the Holy Spirit. Don't think you have to be in charge. Leave the faith to the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is just share the good news that you have known in your life, so that others may know it too. So may you know and may you share the good news of a God of love and grace. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear God, Sometimes it's hard for us to find the peace and joy of faith. So send your Holy Spirit into this place at this time and renew within us the spirit of faith, the spirit of joy in your forgiveness, the assurance that we are yours and that you don't sit there ready to give us what we deserve, but you are there to give us grace, that our lives may be lived in response to a good and gracious God. Lord, let that truth ring in our hearts and in our minds today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. All right, we continue with our offering.